From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Cuba, 45 years after the Socialist Revolution, there's a growing middle class. Tourism and the influx of hard currency has allowed some people to afford luxuries and expensive hobbies. But there are many more who still cannot, as NPR's Lourdes Garcia Navarro reports from Havana.
A large Spanish-style villa rises behind a wide, beautifully manicured lawn. La Giraldilla Tourism Complex is described by guidebooks to the island as the place for Havana's own jet set. Its restaurants and nightclub are open to foreigners. Cubans, though, who can also afford it, enjoy the pleasant surroundings that seem a throwback to a different era. On a sunny afternoon, Cuba's Autumn International Dog Show is underway here. Purebred Cocker Spaniels, Chow Chows, and the native Cuban breed, the Havana Silk Dog, prance or sit patiently waiting for their turn in the ring. Underneath a nearby tent, Daniel Iglesias looks critically at the toy poodle named Diana he's been hired to coif. Around her head is a halo of hair that has been teased into huge wings. It might be the latest poodle fashion, but she looks like a 1980s rock star. Iglesias says he is a professional dog groomer, getting paid between $5 and $10 per dog for his work.
Esto es un hobby muy caro, y creo que aquí en Cuba...
This is a very expensive hobby, he says. It's hard work to find the things you need to do the hairstyles, for example. The owners here are people with businesses, people with possibilities. The owner of this dog owns shops that sell wedding dresses and formal wear. She lives for her dogs. Looking around the dog show, the owners do look prosperous. Many carry cell phones, despite restrictions on their use here. Their dogs are sleek and well-fed. A nearby stand sells a 40-pound bag of dog food for $40. Some owners talk of paying $1,000 to get a dog brought in from Europe. This in a country where the average state salary can be as little as $5 a month. Cuba allowed limited private enterprise such as hostels and home-based restaurants to open in the 1990s after the fall of the Soviet Union. Tourism has also meant that there are many more Cubans able to access hard currency now. Other Cubans have married foreigners, allowing them a step up on the ladder. These people are a minority, and by American standards, they may not be rich, but in Cuba, they are spoken of with envy. For the majority of Cubans, there is a very different reality here. Tanya has heard there has just been a delivery of potatoes at the state store. She takes her libreta, or ration book, and gets handed £3 worth for a few Cuban pesos. Things are rationed here, she says, so that everyone will be able to get something. Rice, beans, grains in general, oil, sugar, salt, toothpaste and soap. People pay for the rationed goods, but they are subsidized, so it's cheap. There's also subsidized health care, housing and education here, so living costs are low. Tanya lives with her husband, daughter, mother, and father-in-law. She is a teacher, making about $10 a month. Her husband's parents live off an equally meager retirement. At their house, Tanya's mother-in-law, Elsa, opens up a bag filled with spools of colored plastic thread. She uses the weave from plastic potato sacks to knit small baskets that she sells for the equivalent of a few dollars. Getting foreign currency in Cuba is important. If you don't have access to it, you can't go to the many supermarkets where everything is priced in the convertible peso on par with the dollar. The majority of people have to invent to make ends meet, Elsa says. There are many times when you can't get things on the ration book that we should get. People boil their clothes without detergent. They take a shower with hot water and no soap. That need has sparked what people call the double economy here. People who are shut out of sanctioned access to foreign money look for ways a la izquierda, meaning the left way as opposed to the right way, of getting it. People steal food from their jobs at hotels or state restaurants to sell. They drive illegal cabs, in short, anything to get what they need. They confess it's risky. There are constant crackdowns. But many say they see others who are doing well, and they want what they have. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Havana.